Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick, if you're looking for some wrestling tonight, WCWO running as usual in Indianapolis, Indiana. Wrestling Revolver in Dayton, Ohio. PPW in Petaluma, California. AWE in Cocoa, Florida. SCW in Iowa City, Iowa. NSCW in Franklin, Kentucky. ASW in McDonald, Tennessee. And XWE in Nelsonville, Ohio. Tomorrow night, RCCW in Hazel Green, Alabama, PWA in Campbell River, BC, TWF in Sacramento, California, USWA in Jacksonville, Florida, GWE in Albany, Georgia, AAW in Chicago, Illinois, PWA in Springfield, Illinois, NFW in Evansville, Indiana, ESW in Vincennes, Indiana, NWF in Covington, Kentucky, WWA in Livermore, Kentucky, NCW in Buffalo, New York, BCW in Waukesha, Wisconsin, RSW in Fairmont, West Virginia, and SPCW in La Mesa, Texas. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest back to the show. It's been around a year since we had him on. Jackson Bourne, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, man. It's good to be here.
Well, since you have last appeared with us, you've been a very busy man capturing championships, doing some tag team wrestling, branching out to a few more promotions. But one of the things that the fans, I'm sure, are going to be most interested in, can you tell us a little bit about the championship situation with you?
Well, right now, currently, I took the Intercity Championship finally off of Amsterdam, you know, third time's the charm. But now I go down the 24th of this month, next Saturday. It'll be Sean Angel versus Sasquatch to find out who's the number one contender to my belt, and they'll face me later that night. But, you know, it's been almost 120 days since I won it. So, you know, it's been a heck of a ride, and I've got all my fans to thank for continuing to support me, even though through, you know, the very bad mistakes that I've made at the beginning of my SCW career. But, you know, it's all about what you do in the present, not about what you do in the past. So it's been one hell of a ride.
For the fans that aren't familiar with it, can you explain to them a little bit about what the Intercity Championship is and what it represents?
Well, the Intercity Championship represents every one of them. I mean, it's from the inner city. It's basically any inner city, any time that you're inside a city or you're inside a town, that's what this belt means. It means, you know, camaraderie. It's all the little people that work their butts off day in, day out, 9-to-5 job. It's their championship. I'm their champion. I mean, you have the United States Championship in the WWE. That's a guy representing everybody in America. I'm the one that is... You know, I'm the one representing the little towns, you know, anything that's inner city, anything where you find to be home, you know, those little towns where everybody knows everybody, you know, I'm their champion.
And of course, you have also been tag teaming. You're in a faction called MRT with Tank Stewart and Ian Bourne. Can you tell us what led to the inclusion of Ian Bear as a member of MRT and how it's been going with you as a tag team wrestler?
Well, I haven't been a tag team wrestler in a while, but when, you know, I came into the tag team division, and you see, it's kind of ironic with that, because the day that MRT was born, I brought in Tyson Tank and we won the SCW Tag Team Championships. We went on to be tag team champions for 105 days, and we pretty much ruled the tag team division. Anybody that's ever watched could see that we dominated the tag team division when we put that tag team together. Now, MRT does still have a tag team with Ian Bear and Tyson Tank Stewart, and again, MRT is tag team champions, but we're also inner city champion. But, you know, being in a tag team and MRT, when I brought up the idea of MRT, I had the idea of MRT 4 years ago. I tried to bring it into another company that I was involved with back 4 years ago, but they didn't like the idea. So, you know, it was just the Lord telling me that it wasn't time yet. Then I came to SCW, and about around my year mark, I think, yeah, it was actually my year mark in SCW. I took the idea to Rob Milliron, who was running things at that time and doing the booking, and I brought the idea to him. And I said, you know, I've got two guys in mind that I want to take on it, and my two ideas on who I wanted never wavered. Because when you start a faction like MRT and the message that MRT is supposed to is putting out there and is supposed to put out there, you have to align yourself with the right people. And the first one that I brought in, of course, was Tyson Tank. And we were awesome as a tag team. He's an awesome person. He is the epitome of what MRT stands for. Ian's turned over a new leaf. You know, it's kind of a full circle type thing with me and Ian. You know, I was in Slamerica under him. Then they kind of turned on me, which is the best thing that could have happened to me. And then he got a change of heart, and now it's full circle. Now he's in MRT with me, and he's one half of the tag team champions. But when you're bringing together a faction, you know, a lot of factions out there fail. You know, Spirit Squad, you got to admit that one failed bad. You know, Right to Censor, you know, some of those other ones, it's because, one, it's timing. Two, it's the push you get. And three, it's the people that you align yourself with when you make these factions. If there's no chemistry between the two people, you know, if you look at it, all the great factions, D-Generation X, you know, the Four Horsemen, you know, all the great factions that I've ever had, there's been chemistry and camaraderie. The Hart Foundation is another one. There's been camaraderie, there's been connection, and there's been chemistry between every member in the faction, and that's what makes a strong faction. And I believe that's what MRT stands for.
Now, since you have had tag team experience as a member of a faction, and you're part of a cohesive unit now, was it a big adjustment for you going from a singles wrestler that only needed to concern himself with what he was doing and how he wanted to prepare for a match versus now being part of a unit with guys that may have different ideas on how you should proceed?
It's not really any different. I mean, in some ways it is, because when you're on your own, you don't have to go and talk to these people and say, hey, this is one thing that I want to try to do over here, but, you know, and get there okay with it. But at the same time, both Ian and Tyson are some of the greatest partners that I could ever ask for. I mean, they're two of the greatest guys that I've met in this industry. And, you know, I'm lucky to have them as my MRT brethren. But either way you look at it, yeah, whether you're a cohesive unit or you're not, the one thing you're out there to do is make those fans happy. So when you find a pair of people that kind of share the same idea you do on where they want things to go, it's kind of a lot easier to just kind of go in the same direction. I mean, yeah, Ian and Tyson are the tag team champions. I'm the inner city champion. So, yes, there's a little bit of difference there. But I still run everything that I'm doing with this belt. I still run by my boys. They're still my club. They still have a say. So, you know, it's a little bit different, yes, because when you're a singles wrestler and you're not in a faction, yeah, you can just walk away and do whatever you want. If you fall on your face, it's only you falling on your face. And, you know, it's only you that's going to pick yourself back up. When you're a unit and you fall on your face, you guys got to kind of come together more to pick yourselves back up. But so far, MRT hasn't fallen on our faces. You know, I thank the Lord for that. I thank our fans for that. You know, our fans have not let us forget what we're here for and the message that we bring. And so, you know, yeah, it takes a little bit of adjustments, but it's worth it in the long run.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is on with us, and I'm sure that QT is going to have some questions as well, so I am going to pass things over to QT.
Well, welcome back, Mr. Bourne.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Mr. Bourne, for all those Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that didn't catch our last interview, can you fill them in on what high school you went to and if you had a wrestling background in that school?
Well, I went to Joe Lee Ferris High School here in Spokane, Washington, and no, I didn't really have a wrestling background. I mean, I was just a fan when I was a kid. I was a fan. I mean, I was a five-year-old growing up watching Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Macho Man Randy Savage. And then later on in time, you know, it was the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and The Undertaker. So, you know, I didn't really have a wrestling background in high school, but it's just something that I've always loved, so.
Okay, did you turn out for any other sports like football or track and field?
I turned out for football. I played a little bit, but, you know, it's just high school, so it really didn't matter.
Oh, okay. Well, now, earlier you said you talked to Sign Guy about factions. What did you think about the faction of Rosie the Hurricane and Molly Holly?
Wow. I'll say, you know, it was good for what it was planned to do. You know, the idea behind it was an okay idea. I just don't think that the players in this certain faction kind of clicked together the right way. You know, they were kind of all doing a different thing at that point in time, and they didn't exactly come together as a unit to make the unit work. So, you know, that's probably why a lot of people don't remember them. I mean, I remember each of them as individuals. I mean, Molly Holly is, quite frankly, downright one of the best women wrestlers that's ever come into the business. I mean, Hurricane kind of caught on. You know, he won a couple of championships there, here and there. But, you know, I think the push was way too soon. I didn't think they let him build enough in his character. And Rosie, that's just a big behemoth. You just want to stay the hell out of his way and don't let him hurt you and don't let him get to you at all. But, you know, a lot of people don't remember them as a unit.
Now, would you say that there's a slight resemblance and comparison in athletic abilities if you compared Rosie to Tyson Tank?
Rosie and Tyson Tank, you know, they're very similar. I mean, they're both men that you just do not want to get sat on by. You do not want to get punched by, you know. One thing that's different between Tyson and Rosie is I think Tyson's a little faster than Rosie. You know, he can react to certain things a little bit better. You know, it's harder to get away from Tyson than it was to get away from Rosie. And, you know, Tyson's my boy. You know, he's been out there, you know, trimming the weight. He's been in the gym a lot. So, you know, he's trying to better himself. But, you know, there are a lot of similarities. I mean, they're both big men that went out there and had a lot of athletic ability to do exactly what they do in the ring. I mean, it's a lot harder for bigger guys to get along in this sport than if you weigh 185 and can fly around everywhere. You know, it's a little bit harder for us to do our thing because, you know, we've got a lot of muscle mass and weight to move around. But, you know, a lot of us, we stay agile.
Well, talk about trimming the weight. What do you think about the weight loss of Buddy Highway, who has recently pretty much, now you never say never, retired from wrestling and has gone into powerlifting? He must have dropped 50 to 60 pounds.
I'm happy for him. I mean, you know, I've talked to Buddy about it. I mean, and everything like that. And his heart just wasn't in wrestling anymore. I mean, he decided to get out before, you know, he got hurt so bad that there was nothing else that he could do past wrestling. I mean, and with a guy like Buddy Highway, he's done pretty much what everybody wants to do in an independent circuit. There wasn't much more for him to do in the independents. I mean, he's been there. He's held the belts. He's held championships. He's had a long career, and now he just wanted to, you know, focus more on himself. And, you know, I wish him all the best of luck in his powerlifting competitions. I haven't really seen it. I mean, I've followed some of his posts on Facebook about the powerlifting and the gripping contest that he's done, the nail bending, and I wish him all the best of luck, and I hope it works out for all the best for him. As long as he's happy, I'm good with it.
Well, I think in the back of his mind, he was always interested in powerlifting. And as you know, if you stick around wrestling long enough, you're going to suffer a knee injury. Now, in the back of his mind, I think that knee injury played to get out before he suffered a serious knee injury was in the back of his mind, because he's squatting about 400 pounds right now, 405 pounds in practice. And as everyone knows, the squat is a key element of your powerlifting competition. You get a knee injury, if it's severe, and you decide to rehabilitate that and you go into powerlifting, it's in the back of your mind about that knee injury.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you this right now. Knee injuries are, you know, one problem that you can get. I mean, there are so many injuries that you can get in any sport. I mean, it doesn't have to be just professional wrestling. I mean, you can get them in football. You can get them in baseball. You can get them in UFC. Any sport that is a physical sport and is a contact sport, you can get injuries. I mean, all of us, every time one of us steps into that ring, when you break that curtain and your music hits, yeah, injuries are in the back of your mind. But in order to be successful in this business, you have to put that out of your mind. You have to put it out of your mind that, you know, the guy that you're going in there against is going to be professional about what he's doing. He's going to be there to make you look good, and you're there to make him look good. And when you do that, you have awesome matches. I mean, yes, in a sport like professional wrestling, there's always going to be fear of an injury. But in order for us to go out there and do what we do for the people who matter, and that's the people that pack their butts in those seats to watch us do it, we just got to go out there and do our thing and trust that that's not going to happen. And we'll deal with that bridge when it comes to it. But I think that Buddy made the choice that was best for him. I mean, honestly, and that's the only thing you can do in life. I mean, and like I said, he'd done everything there was to do in the independent circuit. I mean, he was a great competitor. Unfortunately, I never got the chance to wrestle him. I would have loved to have the chance to wrestle Buddy Highway, but he retired before that could happen. And like I said, I wish him all the best of luck, all the love in the world, all the respect for that man. And I hope that he does great. I mean, yes, you have a point that in a powerlifting competition with squats, a knee injury can be crucial in being able to do that. But I've also seen a lot of knee injuries rehabilitate to where they're stronger than they were before they injured them. So, you know, it's kind of a conundrum. I mean, there's one way and there's another way. I mean, if you work at it, you can heal the knee. Some knees don't heal, some do. I mean, it's just one of those things.
Well, now at La Problemitas, I had the joy of watching one of my favorite wrestlers in action, Otis the Gimp. How do you think Otis the Gimp could have done in the faction of Rosie and the Hurricane and Molly Holly? Would he have fit in?
Well, Otis, he's a character, and you know, if you want my honest opinion, I really don't think that Otis and Rosie and, you know, I don't think Rosie the Hurricane and Molly Holly, I don't think that would have been a great fit for him. But him and Goldust as a tag team, I think that would have been brilliant. I think that would have been brilliant because both of them are pretty much acting the same way. They'd be able to gel. They'd be able to fit. A lot of the moves would work out that way because they're both – there's not much that they're not going to do to make an impact. They are going to make you remember them in every kiss that they do on the lips and everything that they do. They're going to make you remember. And that's one thing in professional wrestling. I mean, anybody can try to get into the sport. Anybody can try and go out there and fight a match. But the ones that are the great ones, the ones that are out there like Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, they made you remember them. That's the one thing about this business. You can be the greatest professional wrestler in the world, but if you can't make the people remember your name, what are you here for? I mean, when I came into this sport, I was just somebody who watched wrestling. I mean, when I first got into it, I was going to be a referee. I was just going to ref. But then I went through one practice, and I fell in love with getting thrown around like I did, and I loved the practice. By the end of it, I walked up and said, no, I can't just do a ref. I got to do this full time. And I've been doing it ever since.
Well, now I have seen some referees in the Northwest get thrown around, and they seem to bounce back. Who are your favorite Northwest referees?
Well, one of them's got to be Sign Guy, and that's just because he's got one hell of a personality. And he's a little guy that's not afraid to stand up to somebody like me. I'm 257 pounds, and he'll sit there and stand there and wave his finger at you. Sign Guy would ultimately have to be one of my favorite referees in the indie circuit that I've met. Another one is Jakin. He used to referee down at IPW before IPW went out of business. It was one of the indie promotions that was here in Spokane, Washington. But Jakin was another great official. I mean, he had his head on his shoulders. He knew what to do. He knew how to stay out of the way of the camera. I mean, being a ref is a lot harder than everybody thinks because not only do they have to pay attention to the match, but they have to pay attention to the people that are recording. And they have to be able to keep themselves out of in front of a camera so that the action can be caught by the camera. So, you know, it's a lot harder than a lot of people think. And then keeping us wrestlers from losing our tempers and going in there and actually beating the crap out of each other, you know, that's another thing that a ref has to do. And it's scary. I mean, you're going up against bigger guys than you, but you have to be the law. And Sign Guy, for being a little guy, he puts his foot down quite a bit with us.
Yes, sir. There have been several times where Sign Guy needed someone at ringside to call Hot Nurse Needed. Yes, he has. Hot Nurse
Well,
Needed.
Well, Sign Guy's got my vote, man. He's a great referee, and, you know, any promotion that signs the guy will be better for it.
Now, another wrestler that has made his mark at La Problemita's is Darth Carter. Darth Carter has had some great matches at La Problemita. Do you find it ironic that Sign Guy and Darth Carter are never seen in the same place at the same time?
Well, I wouldn't want to be seen with Darth Carter either, so I can see where Sign Guy's coming from. I wouldn't want to be seen next to him either. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing, and I'm sorry for all my fans out there, but I got to be a little heelish. You know, when you get around Darth Carter, dumb is contagious.
Oh,
and
that has
when guys like Darth Carter, when I was raised is you don't walk into somebody's fist, okay? When somebody's going to punch you, you don't walk into the fist. You try to get away from it. Darth Carter just walks into a fist. You know, stupid is contagious. Got to say.
Well, I don't know if it's actually walking into a fist. It's kind of like a slow trot.
Okay. You got me there. It is kind of a slow trot, but he does it with style.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Bourne, I saw your YouTube video entitled The Psychotic One, Jackson Bourne versus Lone Star, and in parentheses, NWA BCW. Do you recall when this match took place, and what was your first impression of the Elks building on North Exeter Street?
I remember that. I can't quote you the exact date that it happened. I mean, that's kind of hard. I mean, there's so many dates and they kind of run into each other, but The setup at BCW is awesome. There's a lot of space. I mean, you have space to move around. You have space to go off the top ropes. I mean, I love the way that BCW set up. And, you know, the ring sits a little bit lower than the one at SCW. But, you know, there's not – with the feeling to it, you know, they're kind of similar. But, yes, trust me, I remember the match against Lone Star very well. I mean, I'm going to put it out there right now that Lone Star is one of the best competitors that I've ever had the pleasure of being in the ring with. And it was an honor to actually be able to wrestle with him. It was an honor to be able to fight him. And, you know, I came up short that night, but, you know, Lone Star better know that Jackson Bourne is coming back for him. And there's going to be hopefully there will be a Lone Star Jackson Bourne rematch sometime in the future.
Oh, that was one of the questions I was going to ask. If your management has been in contact with Lone Star management for a rematch.
You know, I'm trying to get a rematch, but you know, now Lone Star is the NWA heavyweight champion. So, you know, he's the Pacific Northwest heavyweight champion. So, you know, it's kind of harder to get there because, you know, I'm the new guy on the totem pole. So, you know, if they try to throw a rematch in there now, you know, it kind of looks bad. You know, I've had 3 matches in BCW. I had Lone Star. Then I went up and then I had a tag team against one of my idols. I mean, it was a pleasure being in the ring with Bad Blood. I mean, I've idolized the guy since I was in independent wrestling. I've always wanted to be like him. And then I got to wrestle him. It was him and Just Exciting against me and Wally Jones. But, you know, wrestling's all about politics. And, you know, people don't want to see that, but it is. And, you know, I've just got to get my way up to a point where I'm worthy in that promotion of fighting the guy with the richest prize in the industry. I mean, yeah, I'm a champion in SCW, but that doesn't mean just because I have a belt in one promotion that I've been at for, I mean, the 3rd of May, I'll be 2 years. It's not the same as when you're walking into another promotion. You got to earn your stripes at that promotion, just like any other promotion.
In your opinion, how far in the Northwest would a Lone Star Jackson Bourne tag team go, and could it reach higher and accomplish more than a Bad Blood Jackson Bourne tag team?
You know, that's tough to say. I mean, honestly, because you're talking about two completely different wrestlers. I don't think either one of them would go any higher than the other. I think they would both be where, you know, both of those tag teams and being teamed up with both of those guys and both those guys being teamed up with me, that would be an awesome tag team. I mean, any way you cut it. I mean, you've got the powerhouse in me, and then you've got the technical wrestlers in Bad Blood and Lone Star, which have their own ways of fighting a match. I mean, they're both very technical. They're both great wrestlers. They're both great mat wrestlers. And, you know, I can honestly say that I don't see either one of them being bigger than the other. But, I mean, it would be something that I'd love to be teamed up with any one of those guys. But right now, I don't see that happening in the near future, seeing as, you know, I have 2 other great guys with me. We formed MRT. We've got a message that we're sending out there. And, you know, I'm happy with the guys that I get to go into battle with every day.
Now, if you did happen to tag team with Bad Blood, would you call yourselves the Psychotic Bad Blood Plasma Unit?
Not at all.
Oh.
Not at all. I don't think Blood would want that. I don't think I would want that. I mean, you know, I'm not the Plasma Unit. I mean, come on.
Oh, okay.
Now. Be a little bit nicer, man. Come on.
Well, could you see one day when Lone Star could get a one-match contract to be a member with MRT, a one-day contract?
I'd love to have Lone Star as a member of MRT. I mean, that would be, I think, would be a great addition to the three guys that I have. I mean, I think he'd play a great part. Him or Bad Blood would make a great addition to MRT. But, you know, I don't see that happening in the near future. I mean, if Lone Star ever wanted to do a one-night deal with MRT, we'd be honored to have him. And, I mean, I'm sure my club members in Ian Bear and Tyson Stewart would agree with that. I mean, Bad Blood would be a great addition.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, we hope that does happen in the future. Yes. Okay. That's
either Lone Star or Bad Blood would be great additions to MRT in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they have a lot to offer the team, and you know, I think both of them are great men. They're great competitors, and we'd be proud to have them.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, what would happen if a Lone Star, Bad Blood, and Sasquatch team together to go against the MRT? How would you see that battle?
Well, the only thing I got to say about that is they better bring their lunch.
Whoa,
you know, you got Sasquatch. He's a big guy, but I got a 300-pound Tyson Tank. You know, you got Lone Star. I got a one-man riot. And you've got Bad Blood. I got a psychotic one. So, you know, if they want to put that three-man team together and come against MRT, the vengeful ones will come. That's all I got to say.
Wow. All right. Now, that would be a matchup many fans would travel many miles to see. Wow, that'd be a great one.
It'd be a great match. It'd be awesome, and MRT would be honored and proud to do it. They just better hope that they're coming in the shape that we're going to come into. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we ain't going to come there to lay down. We're going to come there to fight.
Wow. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, now, speaking of Otis the Gimp, he recently was ranked number one in Turnbuckle Turmoil's Northwest 9 7/8 wrestler rankings, and he got a coveted fruit pie for this. The Northwest rankings are gaining in popularity, and many wrestlers are chiming in once the rankings are published. How come Jackson Bourne has never been ranked number one? And would you consider it a high honor to receive a fruit pie?
I mean, if I was number one, that would be awesome. Why I'm not number one, I have no idea. I mean, you got to realize, I mean, my job isn't to worry about championships. I mean, I love these things, and they're always what you're looking for. You're always looking to have gold around your waist because that's the epitome of what you've done in this business, and that shows how far you've made it. I mean, but, you know, rankings is number one and everything like that. That's – the fans come first, man. The fans come first. And, you know, I've got an awesome fan base. And, you know, maybe one of these days, maybe next month, maybe the next time you guys have a poll, maybe Jackson Bourne will be number one. But that's just something that I got to work towards. But right now, the only thing I'm worried about is I'm worried about the message that MRT brings. I'm worried about going out there and fighting for what MRT fights for. And I'm looking to please every single fan and continue to be inner city champion.
Well, Mr. Bourne, in that blue collar wrestling match with Lone Star, the announcer said that Lone Star weighed in at 202 pounds. This almost puts him in the cruiserweight category of anything under 200 pounds. Were you concerned about his agility and speed that most cruiserweights have?
No. I mean, you got to look at the man. You don't look at the weight. You look at the man. I mean, I studied Lone Star before I went into this match. I didn't go into this match without knowing who I was going against. I mean, have you watched the match?
Oh yes, yes, I watched
it. Okay.
Yes.
If you saw, you know, he didn't. You know, a lot of people thought that I was going to come in as debuting, and he was just going to walk all over me. He was just going to, you know, right off into the sunset, getting that super kick first off and me just going down. And that's not what happened. I mean, he had a fight on his hands. I mean, when I get an opponent, I go in and I study that opponent. And I knew that Lone Star was one of those guys that doesn't run around like cruiserweights. I mean, cruiserweights, If you look at most of the matches when they're going against a bigger guy, they're going around and, you know, dodging, kicking, dodging, kicking, dodging, kicking, dodging, kicking. You know, it gets kind of boring. I didn't come into a match to dance with a guy. I came into a match to get into a fight. And when I watched Lone Star, I knew I knew he was a lower weight, but I also knew from the matches that he was a fighter. And, you know, the weight doesn't make the man. What you see the man do makes the man and makes the impact.
Wow, well said, well said. All right. Well, Mr. Bourne, in that video, I noticed that the bell ringer had no problems of ringing the bell on time and only once. Now, Sign Guy, in his referee at Blue Collar Wrestling, has had some run-ins with the bell ringer, and sometimes the crowd has got on the side of the bell ringer, and he rings it once, twice, and three times, and often not when singled for. How did you rate the bell ringer's performance? Whereas Sign Guy would rate that performance, at least in the past, with a lot of problems.
Well, I mean, I haven't had any problem with the bell ringer. I mean, he hasn't rang early for my matches. He, you know, Lone Star beat me. He rang the bell, showed the match was over. That's the last thing it did. I mean, when Wally Jones and I, we went against Bad Blood, and just exciting, I didn't see a problem with it. I mean, when MRT debuted, and that was on Fight TV yesterday, as a matter of fact, when MRT debuted down at BCW against the Freak Show, Squatch, Sasquatch, and Meat, I didn't see any problem with the bell ringing either. I mean, we were kind of all over the place, so both the referee and the bell ringer had, you know, one hell of a job because we were everywhere. But, I mean, a Sign Guy has his own opinion, and I applaud him for it. But I didn't see any problem with them. If I did, you know, I'd probably be a man about it, walk up to him and say, hey, you know, what is this? Why? What's going on? You getting paid to ring the bell early?
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Bourne, what wrestling attributes did Lone Star have that Amsterdam and Sasquatch lacked or are lacking at the moment?
Huh. Well, you know, I don't like to talk bad about anybody, so... Amsterdam, nothing.
I mean, Amsterdam is one of the toughest competitors I've ever gone against. I mean, I look at Amsterdam and Lone Star as being pretty much equal on you know, me actually fighting them. I mean, they're both great competitors. They can both fly when they want to. They can put you down when they need to. They can fight you off when they have to. So, you know, Amsterdam and Lone Star, they are right there. I mean, Sasquatch, he's a true powerhouse. I mean, I haven't really dealt with him that much. I mean, I gave him a nice little shot to the knee. I hope he remembers that. Man, go after my boy like that again, and I'll hurt your knee even worse than that. But, you know, I didn't really have much of a chance to fight Sasquatch. I mean, it was kind of more like my sergeant-at-arms, Ian Bear, was on Sasquatch most of the time when I was dealing with Meat, but... You know, so honestly, I can't really give an opinion about Sasquatch at this point in time because I haven't really been in the ring against him.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well,
if I gave an opinion without having a little bit more time in the ring with him, I mean, there was a few times that him and I mixed it up and, you know, I got the upper hand a few times. But, you know, I can't really, off of being in the ring with him for maybe a minute at most, I can't really make an opinion out of that. I can't really make a judgment on a guy.
Wow, okay, well said. Very well said. Okay. Well, Mr. Bourne, Ian Bear used to belong to the fraternity Alpha Sigma Sigma. Did he have a spare pledge pen that he was going to give to you or trade for a Twinkie?
No, not at all. I mean, easy what you say about my teammates. Easy now.
Oh, okay. Nope.
I mean, Ian, I understand that you guys still remember him from Samerica, but that isn't the Ian Bear that I go to work with every day. The Ian Bear that I go to work with every day, you know, he can't stand bullies. He can't stand people. He can't stand, I mean, he's very apologetic for, the things that he did back when he was with America. I mean, he tries with MRT to make up for things that he did in the past. I mean, I did evil things in the past. I was with America too. I mean, I can't judge my brethren for what he did because I did it too. I called those people names. I called, you know, I beat people up. I went out there and handled him and Paul Cerberus' dirty work. And each one of them have fell to Jackson Bourne. And, you know, the only thing that me and Ian can do is every single day that we're out there, every single day that we get to put on our gear and we get to put on that MRT shirt, is go out there and be the best people that we can be and stay with the cause that MRT was built for and stay the course.
Well, Mr. Bourne, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that maybe haven't seen MRT in action what their entrance music is?
The Vengeful Ones by Disturbed.
Oh, Disturbed. Okay. All right.
Yeah, both of my entrance musics, my personal entrance music and the club's entrance music are both by Disturbed.
Are there any truths to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that you were at one time MRT was considering some of Slipknot's music as entrance music? Slipknot?
No. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Not to my knowledge. I mean, when I pick an entrance music, I'm gonna say this right now to all the listeners out there. When I pick an entrance music, it's got to be something that I can feel. It's got to be something that I can get behind, and it's got to be something that, while I'm walking out, it's getting me ready for what I got to step in there and do. So, you know, when I left Slamerica, I had to change my entrance music because the entrance music that I had back then just didn't have the same message that I needed to portray when I walked out there as the new and improved Jackson Bourne. And so I found The Light by Disturbed, and it said the message that I wanted to put out there.
All right. At one point, were you considering Rage Against the Machine?
No. I don't even care for Rage Against the Machine. maybe my boys wanted Rage Against the Machine and Slipknot, but you know, they never made that vocal to me.
Wow. All right. Okay. Will you at least consider, from QT Vokes, a suggestion that you talk to MRT maybe about some entrance music from the Partridge Family, like I Think I Love You?
No. Absolutely not. I mean, I love the Partridge Family back in the day, okay? I got nothing bad to say about the Partridge Family, all right? Don't think that I'm talking bad about them, but yeah, I don't think that's quite the message that MRT wants to put out there when we walk out. I mean, I'm going to tell everybody right now, MRT was built for a cause, MRT was built for a reason, and MRT was built for a message that we put out there every single day that we walk out there. And the things that we do in the ring represent the message that we have. So, you know, we kind of have to have a entrance music that kind of backs up that message.
Okay, I myself am going to put Danny Bonaducci and Susan Day on the back burner.
Hey, you go right ahead, man. I mean, I'm sure that whatever character that you come up with, you know, I would think that more like a Pee Wee Herman-based character would be good for that Partridge Family music, you know?
Well, okay. All right. Well, granted, bearing in mind, The Big Show once appeared in the ring as Pee Wee Herman, with Pee Wee Herman also. It was a seminal WWE moment for myself. Yes.
Hey, I'm happy for The Big Show. I mean, The Big Show can do just about anything. I mean, he's a big, scary guy, but, I mean, underneath he's kind of a teddy bear. So I'm pretty sure The Big Show can do anything that you throw at him and any type of storyline that you throw at him. I'm sure The Big Show is one of the best at doing whatever you can throw at him. So, you know.
It's true. Yeah. Okay. Well, Mr. Bourne, Lone Star did get that win over you in the seesaw battle that did see many 2.5 counts. And the match lasted 16 minutes. How did you prepare how did you prepare your cardio for a match this long?
Cardio is cardio. I mean, walks, going on a lot of walks, treadmills, weightlifting. And I mean, it's not so much cardio. It's getting yourself mentally ready for a battle like that. I mean, you've got to be mentally strong just as much as you are physically strong in order to go through matches like this. I mean, you have to know your shit. You have to know the guy you're going in there against. I mean, a lot of people think that wrestlers just walk in and, you know, talk about it and then go out there and do it. No, I mean, there's video that goes behind it. I mean, me personally, any guy that I'm against, if I don't know who they are and I've never heard their name before, I make sure that whatever manager or whatever infrastructure tells me that I'm going up against them, I make sure that I at least get two or three matches worth of footage on these people, or I know where I can get footage so that I can watch and see who I'm preparing to go up against. So I can see where their strengths are. I can see where their weaknesses are. I can see what I can play off of and where my moveset's going to go the best with in any given time in that match.
Wow, all right, okay. Now, will March be returning to Portland and Blue Collar Wrestling? Do you have anything lined up with Blue Collar Wrestling in March?
I don't know. I mean, I will be down. I know I have SCW the 9th and the 10th of March. They have double shot, and I'll be down there. I'll be down at SCW the 9th and the 10th, Friday and Saturday. We've got two shows allotted for that time frame, and then, you know, maybe BJ Darden, maybe Bad Blood will get with me, and I'll be able to come down and wrestle at BCW at that time as well. But right now, no, there's nothing set in stone.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and hopefully Sign Guy will go over a seminal moment in La Problemita's history when he and Defula Dabashi had a clash in the ring, and it centered over a pork taco. Yes.
I remember that one.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
I remember that, too, and I would like to point out for the record, I have done battle with Darth Carde right in the middle of La Poblanita's. Oh, you have seen the two of us together at the same time.
I must have missed that.
But
I believe
it was a little
bit
before your time, but I've got the video of it.
But like I said, who would want to hang around Darth Carde anyway?
That's exactly right. Who would want to hang with that idiot?
If you hang around Darth Carter, you better be ready to get your ass beat. I mean, seriously. That guy just brings people that want to beat him up.
Now, speaking of that idiot, you and your partner Tank did battle with Darth Carter and As Is No Warranty at the NWA show in Seattle last summer. It was a double bull rope match, as I recall it. How did that match go for you?
We retained. I mean, I didn't. Darth Carter was kind of chicken to me. He went after the other big guy. He went after. He was kind of hooked to Tank. So, you know, he really didn't come near me much. But that was a brutal match. I mean, a double bull rope match. Anything goes, and it can go anywhere. You're attached to your opponent. You can't get away. I mean, I know that, you know, I got opened up on that, getting thrown into a turnbuckle post, and then getting drop kicked against the post by As Is. You know, me and As Is beat the crap out of each other. But at the end, it was the same. It was MRT getting their hands raised and still SCW Tag Team Champions.
Now, immediately after that match, which, as I recall, saw Tank hit his finishing move, the smush, on Darth Carter. The faction Darth Carter was involved with all turned against him and beat him down. It included Chongo, Kevin Sullivan, and the aforementioned As Is, all hitting their finishers on that idiot, much to the delight of everyone that was there in Georgetown watching that. How did you feel when you saw Darth Carter being beaten down not only by his faction members, but by the legendary Kevin Sullivan, whom had his very moves stolen and used in that match by Darth Carta?
I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, I watched him use Kevin Sullivan's finishing move, and, you know, you do that, and you know the guy is in the building or the guy is watching, you're asking for trouble. I mean, Darth Carta did something that you just don't do. He showed the biggest disrespect to a professional wrestler ever, and that's you don't use a guy's finishing move and then act like you enjoyed doing it and then smile at the guy and then, you know, talk shit to the guy after you used it. I mean, you know that if you use somebody's finishing move, you are going to get beat up. You know, I think if you want to be honest, and I'm not a heel, you know, if me and Tyson would have been in better shape, we probably would have come in there because we don't like bullies. But me and Tyson were not in the shape to run in there and run any interference for it. But, you know, I honestly think that Darth Carta brought it on himself when he used another guy's finishing move. I mean, just saying.
I think he brought it on himself just being Darth Carta. And if you would have tried to stop the beatdown, I would have ran in and stopped you, to be fair.
Well, you know, Darth Carta brings a lot on himself. I mean, I mean, I'm a face, and I've thought about beating him up. Come on.
Well, I know I have, and it's really enjoyable. Now, one of the things here in the Northwest that is a definite benefit for a lot of wrestlers is we have a wealth of veterans up here, guys that have been around the business for 15, 20, 30, sometimes even over 40 years, guys like Kevin Sullivan, Randy Taylor, Dale Houston, all kinds of guys that worked in the Don Owens era of Portland Wrestle, still reside up here. What's it like for you interacting with so many guys with so much experience on shows?
I mean, to be honest, it's like a kid in a candy store. It should be to any wrestler. I mean, I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care if you've been here 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 40, 50 years. I mean, if you're in this business, there's nobody out there that can ever say they know everything there is to know about professional wrestling. It is impossible to do that. I mean, every year, moves change. New moves come out. New moves are invented. New moves are created. You can't know everything there is to know about professional wrestling because wrestling has to change as the times change. Storylines have to change as the fans change in the interests that they show towards the show. So anybody that's out there, I don't care how long you've been doing this sport, any knowledge that you can get from another person might be something that you never thought of. He might have faced a situation that you haven't faced yet. Even though you've been here 40, 50 years, you might not have been in a place to face that. But he has, and he's got a little bit of knowledge. So there's not anybody out there that is completely worthless on knowledge. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, being in this business for 5 years like I have been, pro, and another three backyard, you know, you can't know everything. I mean, I've had the privilege of being able to train with some great guys like BJ Whitmer, some great women like Kelly Klein, Casey Carlisle, B-Boy. I've trained with B-Boy. I trained with Shane Taylor when he was up here. I mean, I was privileged enough to have Randy the Pimp Taylor take me under his wing and teach me a lot about the psychology of this game. And I become a better wrestler because of that, because I was one of those kids that was like a kid in a candy store. I'd pay anybody just to talk to me for 15 minutes about the sport because I was hungry to know how I could be better, how I could be at that level. And doing that brought me the Inner City Championship that I have now. It hasn't yet brought me the heavyweight championship that I've the only belt that I have not had in my career. But I know that eventually the fans will speak loud enough and I'll get my shot at the heavyweight championship. So I'm not worried. But anybody out there, I don't care how long you've been in this business. Take it from me. I don't care how long you've been in this business. You don't know everything, and you're not better than the next guy. We're all out there doing the same thing. We're all out there doing something that we love, and there is nobody that is better than anybody else. We go out there, and we do the sport with the same love as anybody else. So Anybody that walks into a locker room should treat the other person like an equal.
I would gladly take your money so I could talk to you about the professional wrestling business for a few minutes. I'll give you a reasonable rate.
We've had conversations about the wrestling business, and you didn't charge me nothing.
That's you were willing to pay. Well, we're down to a few minutes here on the show, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, your social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite donut shop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Well, first off, I want to thank everybody on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Hopefully this won't be the last time I'm on your guys' show. But, you know, as it goes for plugging stuff, all I want to do is I want to take this time to thank every fan out there that has ever chanted MRT, that has ever chanted Jackson Bourne, and continues to chant. You know, you guys and gals are the reason that I come out and do this every day. You are the reason that I continue to come out there and represent every one of you at every show. I mean, if it wasn't for the fans that are out there screaming my name or the ones that boo me, it doesn't matter. Without you guys, I have no character. Jackson Bourne is just a man. Without you, you are what make me great. And for all those guys out there that I've fought in my career that have given me great matches, thank you so much for the great match that you put on, the love and professionalism you brought to this sport. I appreciate all you guys and all my guys in the back locker room at SCW. You guys are awesome. You are one of the best locker rooms that I could ever find. The same with the guys at BCW. Both places have given me a home. And, you know, I love all you guys. To my MRT brethren, Ian Bear and Tyson Tank, stay strong, guys. We're doing the right thing. But, you know, as for plugging, you know, come out and see SCW the 24th. La Pabonita's 2624 6th Street, Bremerton, Washington. And continue to go watch BCW on Fight TV and also go down to the North Portland Eagles Lodge and look me up on Facebook, look me up on Twitter. They're all under the Jackson Bourne name. So I also want to thank you. I also want to thank Turnbuckle Turmoil again for having me on the show.
Our pleasure, and I will see you next week at Pablo Nita's for the next SCW show. And for the people that are in the industry, don't forget there is a Kelly Klein seminar that day. I'll be helping her with that. So I encourage everybody to take part in that if you're in the business. And for the fans, definitely get out there, support what we do. Come see Jackson Bourne and the rest of MRT. Kelly Klein's going to be on the show next week. So get out there, support, find a show near you, go buy yourself a ticket, get some merchandise. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Mortimer Blankenship from Supreme Wrestling in Indiana will be our guest, one of the great managers on the independent circuit currently plying that trade. So we'll talk to him Sunday. We'll talk to you then.